word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
Isaiah 53 vividly describes the work of the Lamb of God. It says in verse 3 of that passage beginning, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Jesus became the Lamb of God to take away the guilt and the punishment that our sin deserves. We were like sheep who had all wandered astray, but he came and gave himself in our place. As John said, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. So, in Isaiah 53, you have the ministry of Jesus, and once that ministry is complete, in Isaiah 55, you have a great invitation. Beginning in verse 1, Isaiah writes, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." What a great invitation. You know, the word inviting can have two meanings. One, we may say, this home is so inviting, and we're talking about how pleasant, how attractive, how welcoming it is. Or we might say, Tom is inviting us to his house. And that means that Tom has something special, and he wants us to be there. He wants to share it with us. And God extends his invitation to us in both ways. What he has offered us is pleasant, attractive, and welcoming. And also, it's so special that it wouldn't be the same to God without us. He wants us there. He wants to share it with us. So as we think about this great invitation, let's first talk about who is invited. Who is God inviting? Well, verse 1 says, everyone is invited. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat, he says. God has set the table for a grand feast in the dining room of heaven. And he has opened the door wide enough to receive anyone who is willing to come. The doctrine of Calvinism teaches that before time began, God chose a certain group of people, people called the elect, and that God's door of grace, his atonement, is only offered to those who are a part of that number of people. This could not be further from what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4. Jesus came for the world, John 3:16, not just for a certain part of the world. This invitation is extended to everyone who will come, not just to a certain group of people that God has chosen. God's invitation is for everyone, and that means it's for you, my friend. Never think for one second that you would be excluded from God's invitation. The grace of God has appeared to all men, Titus 2:11 says, and Jesus suffered death for everyone, Hebrews 2:9. So the invitation is extended to everyone. But taking it a little bit further, the invitation is for everyone who is thirsty and broke. And especially with this being the holiday season, you say, well, I'm definitely broke right now. Well, we're talking about a different kind of bankruptcy here. We're talking about spiritual thirst and spiritual brokenness. We are hungering and thirsting for the life that only God can provide. We're all spiritually bankrupt, whether we acknowledge it or not, but some people just won't acknowledge it. Some people think they've got it together. Some people think they've got it made. Some people think they've got it figured out, and they don't need God, and they don't know how thirsty and how broke they are. If we're going to accept God's invitation, we have to realize how hopelessly indebted we are spiritually without Him. Our sin has caused a debt that we could never repay on our own and would leave us punished forever in hell. So as we come to God, we must recognize that we are broke. We must recognize that we are going to be ever thirsty without Him. We are desperate for relief from the guilt and shame of our sin. And that's the first step that we have to take if we want to have the heart that God wants us to have. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God, Matthew 5:3. This invitation is for those who are poor in spirit. This invitation is for everyone who is dissatisfied with this world. As verse 2 asks, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and why do you spend wages for what will not satisfy? We have come to realize that this sinful world and everything in it cannot possibly offer us a life that is satisfying to the soul. Multitudes of people are wearing themselves out for junk food, thinking that life is all about wealth, about pleasure, about honor, about power, about approval. And people are throwing their lives away seeking after those things instead of seeking the feast that God is offering them. Jesus said, don't labor for the things that perish, but for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus said, What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? No man will ever gain all of the wealth that the world has to offer. No man will ever enjoy all of the pleasure. No man will ever be honored all over the world, have power over all of the world, or gain the approval of all of the world. But even if he could, it wouldn't be worth it if he lost his soul in the process. So God extends an invitation. Everyone is invited. But if we intend to respond to this invitation, we need to recognize that we will forever be thirsty without God, that we are broke and unable to provide for ourselves. We must recognize that this world has nothing to offer, and we come to him completely dissatisfied, knowing that only he can fill the emptiness inside. And now that we know who is invited, let's talk about what we are being offered. What's he inviting us to receive? Well, there are three things mentioned in verses 1 and 2 that I think we ought to pay attention to. There's water, milk, and wine. He says, come buy and eat. First of all, he says, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Well, we're broke. How are we going to buy? Well, he's offering us something that money can't buy. He is providing it through his grace and mercy. And he is providing water, milk, and wine. I think each one of those is significant. When we think about water, we think about our need for refreshment. Our souls are discouraged. They are filled with guilt. They are filled with shame. And they need relief. They need refreshment. And God alone can provide the water that our souls need. He is the good shepherd who makes his sheep lie down in green pastures and leads them beside the still waters. And because he can do that, he restores the soul of his sheep. Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. His water restores the soul. And that refreshment represents the relief of the forgiveness of our sins. Remember when Jesus sat down with the Samaritan woman at the well, and he said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:13-14. What is that living water that Jesus spoke of there? It's the living water of the gospel, the good news that we can be forgiven of our past, that we will never again be haunted by the sin that we have committed, that once God has forgiven it, it will be forgotten and remembered no more. God invites us to come and drink the water that he provides, the water of the forgiveness of our sins. But he also offers us milk. Now, why is that important? Well, if water corresponds to refreshment, then milk corresponds to the need for ongoing nourishment. You think about that little baby, how badly that baby needs that milk to keep growing and developing and become the person that they can be. Well, when we first enter into our relationship with Christ, we're like that baby. We're immature. We are dependent. We are not ready for the mature responsibilities that will come. So we need to grow. And we need nourishment for that growth to take place. In 1 Peter 2:2, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So God first gives us the water, which offers the refreshment of the forgiveness of our sins. And then through the Word of God, he gives us milk, and that milk will help us to grow and develop so that we can become the person that God would have us to be. So you have the water, you have the milk, but then there's also the wine. Now, wine corresponds to the desire for celebration. Think about the wedding feast where Jesus turned the water into wine. They were celebrating the love of this man and his wife and the beginning of their home. Well, that's what we think of when we think of that. And once we have the water of refreshment and we've begun this process of walking with God and growing in Him, then that produces an excitement, a joy, a happiness, a peace that hasn't been there before and that you can't find anywhere else. The wine represents the rejoicing that we have and our new hope for the future. The water washes away the sins of the past. The milk helps us to keep growing in the present. And the wine reminds us of what we have to celebrate in the future. Let me tell you something, folks. You can't put a price on that. If you have those three things in your life, you are rich. You are rich beyond anything this world has to offer. And let me tell you something. If you don't have that in your life, there will be an emptiness there. There will be a thirst that will never be satisfied. There will be a brokenness that will never be fixed. Because if you don't have that water, that milk, and that wine, you won't find anything in this world that will replace them. You can only find it in God. And what God provides is good and it is abundant. Verse 2 says, "Eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance." That word good means that it's top quality. What God provides far surpasses anything else that anyone could ever offer. As Paul told Timothy, a godly life has the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy 4:8. Some people want to have the best of both worlds. They want to do everything they want to do now and then still have a hope of enjoying a life to come. It doesn't work that way. The reality is if you're only doing that and living selfishly, you're not going to live a good life. Only a godly life is the way to have the best of both worlds, to walk with God now and then live with God forever. God gives what is good, and He gives it in abundance, which means there's not only are the blessings that God provides good, but there's a lot of them to go around. And we never fear that He will run out of love, or grace, or mercy, or hope, or the things that matter most. Think about Jesus when He turned that water into wine and those water pots that were filled to the brim and then they were made into wine. That was like 160 to 240 gallons of wine. More wine than an entire village could drink. But that's the way God gives. He goes above and beyond. He gives in such a way that we'll never run out. That's who He is. And that's what He does. So He invites us. He invites everyone to come and to have water and milk and wine. So let's finish up our study today with this question. How do we respond? Hopefully I've already whet your appetite for this invitation. And now you're wondering, what do I need to do? Well, here's the answer. The first thing we must do is we must come to Him. Verse 2 and 3 tells us to come to the waters, to come by and eat. And also it emphasizes that the way we do that is by listening carefully to Him. To come to the Lord, we must Stop going our own way. Stop chasing after the things that will never satisfy us. Not allowing the advertisement of these worldly trinkets to drown out the invitation of heaven. We must open our ears and our hearts to listen carefully to what God says through His Word. We must be willing to come because the Lord will not force us to listen. In John 6:45, Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." You see there that the idea of coming to God is the idea of being taught by God, by hearing and listening and learning from Him. That's what we're talking about here. We must come, and coming means that our hearts and our ears are open to listen to God and follow Him. He has our undivided attention. As Peter said, "The words that you speak are spirit and life." John 6:63. So the first thing we must do is come. The second thing we must do is buy. Now, in and of ourselves, we don't have the money. We've already acknowledged that. We are spiritually bankrupt. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing for us to do, because we are to buy and eat. We are to buy wine and milk. There is something that we must invest. And what the Lord really wants is not money. It's not our achievements. It's not our accomplishments. It's not our merits. What He wants is our heart. And He wants all of it. He wants us to, once we've listened to Him, to be willing to accept what He has said and live it out in our lives in obedience. And we need to get busy about doing this. We need to seek the Lord while He may be found, because the opportunities eventually will pass from us, and we will no longer be able to call upon Him and seek Him. If we continue ignoring Him, our hearts will grow hardened. We'll be past feeling and no longer able to respond to Him. Or death may occur. And then we'll have no more opportunities. Or the Lord may decide to come. And then our opportunities will be closed. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Buy the wine and the milk. Buy into what God is teaching and strive to live it out in your life. Forsake the ways of wickedness and the thoughts of unrighteousness. Surrender to the Lord, and He will bless you with abundant pardon. God takes delight in showing His limitless capacity for mercy and forgiveness. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in mercy. Micah 7 and verse 18. So come, buy and eat. Eat. In verses 8 through 11, God warns us that His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, His ways are higher than our ways. So we're not following our own intuition and impulse as we do this. We are eating what God has provided. We're taking it in until it becomes a part of us. Careful to eat only what is good. Not trusting in our opinions and intuitions, but trusting in God's ways that He has revealed through the Word. And God promises that as the rain falls to the earth and gives nourishment, so His Word will nourish our hearts and lead us to that heavenly home. But only if we're eating. And then the final thing is to enjoy. Come, buy, eat, and enjoy. Let your soul delight in what God has provided with worship, with praise, and thanksgiving. For most of the year, northern India is extremely dry and hot. Sometimes people must endure temperatures as high as 127 degrees Fahrenheit. During the dry season, northern India looks parched and barren, but the Indians know that change is on the way. Hope comes from the south as the torrential season rains finally reach northern India and satiate the parched ground. It's as if someone flicks a switch and the earth explodes into bloom. In a matter of days, northern India is alive with exotic leaves and flowers. And the point is that there are times when our lives are at their driest point. Those are the times when God so often brings a monsoon of blessing. In those moments, the earth and His people could not restrain the outburst of praise, thanksgiving, and devotion. My friend, are you distant from God today? He invites you to come to Him. Have you been standing on the sidelines? He invites you to buy the truth and sell it not. Are you thirsty to be close to the Lord? He invites you to eat and drink and grow closer to Him. Are you filled with God's blessing till your cup overflows? Then enjoy it. Give thanks and worship Him who gave it to you. And realize that the best is yet to come. Let me be even more specific about what it takes to respond to the Lord's invitation to come, buy, eat, and enjoy. If we want to be saved, you must be willing to hear the gospel, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Upon hearing the word, we must believe. We must believe in the Bible, we believe in God, we believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that without faith it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. And the Bible tells us that unless we believe in Jesus, we will die in our sins, John 8:24. If we're willing to believe, then the next step that we must take is to accept the change that we need to make in our lives. Turning our way from our sin and turning toward the Lord, we repent of the life that we've been living. The Bible tells us that unless we repent, we will perish. And God commands all people everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. Now that we have repented, we must confess the faith that we have. If we believe it in our hearts and we confess it with our mouths, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:10. And finally, we are to be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. Where we are baptized into His death, Romans 6:3 and 4. And thus being baptized, we shall be saved from our sins, Mark 16:16. If you're ready to accept the Lord's invitation, we urge you to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And if there's anything that we can do to help you accept that invitation, please contact us today.
Unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.